Good evening and welcome to all. My name is Ansara and I am the host of this program, 1 Hour with Ansara. The views expressed are not intended to diagnose, treat, give psychiatric advice, or replace appropriate professional intervention. My goal is to express what I would do if I was in your situation. After much research and many years of experience and personal application, I consult with clients and teach a variety of methods and spiritual modalities to accomplish the living and uplifting of life. There is rarely a time that I recommend a course of action I myself have not used successfully to accomplish my own goals and dreams. Well, ladies and gentlemen, tonight that really probably wasn't necessary because I have a wonderful guest that I happen to know personally also, and his name is Ron Van Dyke. And Ron Van Dyke is talking with us from Brevard County in Florida, and he was raised in an evangelistic family, a family of ministers and evangelism, preachers, that type of thing. Ron preached his first sermon at age 14 in the Assembly of God, and he really knew what he was doing, obviously. That's one strong church. But throughout life, he was a lay preacher. And he's basically been asked to speak in various Christian communities and later in metaphysical communities. Ron, whom, like I said, I know personally, he's drawn to New Thought churches, which basically in reality is not New Thought at all. It is old thought, old ancient thought, before things got all screwy, like if you were listening earlier to Dr. Rebecca Carley's show, which I hope you all were. And Ron appreciates the churches that teach inclusion rather than exclusion, and that's very important. And I've known Ron since,
1996.
Right, exactly. But it was in 94 you started your leadership positions, I believe, in the local metaphysical communities, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, basically, I met him late in 1996 in a metaphysical group, which when I met Ron, I was greatly impressed. I will tell you that. He has a varied and extensive knowledge in the metaphysical realm, basically even to the political arena. But one thing is, I have never known Ron Van Dyke not to grow spiritually. He grows, he knows so many different pathways, and that's one reason that I ask him here tonight. He has come upon a most interesting subject. And Ron, is there anything else that you would like to say about yourself?
Oh, it's hard talking about oneself. I guess that I consider service the most highly spiritual of all gifts that we can give, and I've always tried and in recent years tried even harder and been more successful at helping other people grow and serving not just what I want to do, but helping other people achieve their dreams and fulfill their visions, because we are together changing the world, and I want to help everyone that I can do their part and fulfill their dream, fulfill their vision of what they see happening in this world so that we can create heaven on earth literally.
Oh, amen on that. That's an incredible thing. And I have seen Ron, myself, give hundreds of hours to different causes and teach and counsel with people, anyone who will listen. Ron is a truth seeker, and this is one reason I've asked him here tonight. He has found the most interesting thing from Moscow, Russia. And so, Ron, without further ado, I am going to turn this over to you.
I hope I don't have to talk for the rest of the time. I hope we can actually have conversation. It was at the beginning of June that a friend on a telephone call mentioned that another friend of hers was reading a book called Anastasia, which was translated into English from Russia. And, I mean, just as she told me and mentioned the name Anastasia, she didn't give me a whole lot of detail. But I don't know if you've ever experienced a resonance, but immediately I knew that I had to get this book, and I had to learn more about what she mentioned, just in passing, just briefly. There was just something drawing me to that, and so I went online, and I looked it up and found this book called the Singing Cedars of Russia series, of which Anastasia is book one, and I ordered the five books that were available in English. There's 9 books available in Russian right now, and by the way, the Anastasia book, the first book in the series, has sold over 10 million copies in Russia alone. It has been translated into 20 languages, and virtually everyone that reads of Anastasia is transformed. And I will go into more detail on just how that transformation takes place as we continue our conversation. But
I have seen you transform, Ron. Forgive me for interrupting you. But when you and I were discussing this on the phone, chills came over me with the reverence that you discussed this with and the very things that you had read and shared with me. I mean, I have seen a transformation in you, and that's why I wanted you to share this all over the world so that people could find what you have found.
Well, it's already being shared all over the world, whether I do anything or not, but it is a contagious thing, and what I have caught, many others are catching or will catch. For example, I have a friend who is actually from Russia. Her name is Lena, and I mentioned to her when I first came in contact started reading the books, I mentioned them to her, and she said, yes, she had heard of them, but she had never really paid any attention to them. But then a couple weeks after I spoke to her, a friend of hers from Australia contacted her and was also reading the Anastasia books and mentioned them to her, and she got back in touch with me, and she said, that's two people in a couple of weeks that mentioned these to me. I have to read them. So she's been downloading them on the web in Russian, which I understand is totally free, and reading them, and we're going to be having a meeting here next Wednesday night at the Mary Horgan Center, and we're going to be discussing what I right now have several people. There's probably, I'd say probably 10 or 15 people just based on my sharing with them about Anastasia and about the contribution that she's making that are also in the process of reading these life-transforming books. And I actually wrote an article on June 16th, which I published on my website, called From Russia with Love, Anastasia's Story. And if I may, I'd like to just read a little portion of how I opened that article. And I opened it with a quote.
Please do. And Ron, why don't you give your website out to the listeners so that people from all over the world can contact you and connect with you?
Okay. The website, of course, is www.metagroups, that's M-E-T-A, groups, G-R-O-U-P-S, all one word, lowercase, .info, I-N-F-O. That's, again, metagroups.info. And that will, you can log into that, and there's a whole bunch of stuff there. I won't go into detail. But anyway, I opened that article with a quotation from Albert Einstein, which was made in 1954, in which he said, a human being is part of the whole called by us universe, a part limited in time and space. We experience ourselves, our thoughts, and feelings as something separate from the rest. kind of optical delusion of consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from the prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature and its beauty. The true value of a human being is determined by the measure and the senses in which they have obtained liberation from, he said, the self. I would change self to ego. We shall require a substantially new manner of thinking if humanity is to survive. And again, that was 1954, and that's Albert Einstein. And I actually opened my article with that quotation, and then I say, imagine a human growing up and never losing his or her sense of Creator's presence and unconditional love. Imagine your parents dying before you could even walk or talk. Imagine having an eccentric grandfather and great-grandfather who allowed nature to raise you with little interference and no indoctrination from them or anyone else. Imagine being able to communicate with nature, understanding plants and animals, learning firsthand that everything around you was there to serve you, to nurture you, and to bring you joy. Imagine the power you would experience without even thinking it was power, only that it was life itself as it was meant to be. You simply knew that God had given you dominion over everything around you, and that you were always safe, no matter what the circumstances. That was my opening paragraph from the article from Russia with Love, Anastasia's Story, which again is posted on my website. But this person actually exists. Christ promised us that those that believed would do greater things than he did because he went to the Father. Yeah. And how many of us, even who have called ourselves Christians, who have been raised in the church, who have been able to quote Scripture and can quote, you know, the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter, as I was trained to do, how many of us have failed in even scratching the surface of what Jesus did? But then I read about Anastasia. Go ahead.
No, I was just commenting in there. There's not too many. I was talking to Dr. Wirth the other day about that. How many know the truth of what is truly in the scriptures, or do they just preach, or do they truly believe what they preach? And she said that there is an awful lot of them out there that do know the truth. In fact, one preacher she asked some of those hard questions to, and he said, why don't we just let sleeping dogs lie? There's such a movement now to open eyes, ears, brains, minds, hearts to what is coming forth. So forgive my interruption, but carry on, Ron.
No, the interruption is not an interruption at all. It's just a flow. And we were promised that in the last days, and we're living in the last days of this age, not of the world. The world isn't coming to an end, but the age and the way that we've seen things is definitely changing, and it's changing very rapidly. But the promise was given that at that time God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and that all would know God, from the least to the greatest. And we would not need to teach each other saying, know the Lord, for everyone would know him. And and Anastasia in a female body is the Christ Spirit. In fact, she made reference one point, I don't know if she was speaking physically or spiritually, but she was speaking of the fact that she is Jesus' sister. Now, again, I don't know the context because it did not elaborate on the context in which that throwaway line was given. Many throwaway lines, though, have significant meaning far beneath the surface that you might imagine, and each person will resonate at whatever level or dimension they're able to comprehend. according to their growth at this particular time. But Anastasia,
may I interject something to back
yes,
you
please.
Up? In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and it said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That is Romans chapter 12, verse 2.
Yes, that one that I have memorized by heart, and I could have interjected at any point. King James, you did perfect King James rendition of that. thank you. Go ahead.
You're welcome.
And that's one of my things. It's the restoring of the soul and the renewing of the mind. And in fact, I'm giving a sermon a week from this coming, no, 2 weeks from this coming Sunday at the church that I attend on that very subject of integrating the shadow, the light and the darkness, the divine marriage of our soul in which we recognize ourselves as part of the whole. In fact, I'm jumping ahead and just going with the flow here. Anastasia had a son, and the father, who is the author of the books, met the son the first time when he was just an infant, and the second time when he was not yet 5 years old. And he brought the son a gift, namely a fifth-grade textbook in Russian, and he said, "When you're older, you can read this book." And he said, "Papa, I can already read. Mama taught me how to read. I've read all the books that you've written so far." This is a kid,
wow,
not yet five, never been in school a day in his life, but has knowledge that's infinite because he's tapped into the infinite along with his mother. And in fact, when his dad first met him, he asked him the traditional question, "What do you want to be?" And the child paused a long time, and finally, with a puzzled look on his face, he said, "But I already am, Papa. I already
wow.
am. What do you mean,
that?
What do I want to be? I already am." And he took the textbook that his dad had given him, and he began to read the first paragraph in which it talked about ancient man having to scavenge for food and spend most of his time searching for something to eat. And he stopped reading after the first paragraph, and he says, "Papa, this doesn't make sense to me. Were they blind?" And he laid down on the ground, and he closed his eyes, and he felt around on the grass. And his fingers found something to eat, and he would eat. And then he says, "Perhaps they could not smell, Papa. Perhaps they could not smell." And so he held his nose, and he began to emit a sound. Ah, ah, ah. And all of a sudden, the animals in the forest came, the squirrels, the bears, the wolves, even a sable, which I assume is a mink, but it's translated sable in the book, came and actually brought him berries, brought him dried mushrooms, brought him nuts from the forest, and fed him while he was laying on his back with his eyes closed, with his fingers pinching his nose. Now remember, this kid's not yet 5 years old. And he's going to be greater than Anastasia. Anastasia is such a remarkable woman with such a power of Christ in her. She is a Christed woman, and God is pouring out his spirit and bringing the feminine energy back into the flow of the earth energy to balance out the imbalance of masculine energy that has distorted so much over the past millennia of time. And there's a balance and a golden age coming, and it's coming through the feminine energy of God manifesting himself through women. And Anastasia is simply a prototype of that manifestation. When the first book was published, and now bear in mind that Vladimir had never written a book in his life. He was not even inclined to write a book. But Spirit brought him together and caused his path to cross with Anastasia's, and he spent 3 days with her in the forest. Now, Anastasia, bear in mind, lives in the forest in Siberia. She does not wear Eskimo clothing, for she knows how to adjust her body temperature and even the surroundings so that she can bathe and everything else, living without a house, without heat, without fire, without air conditioning, because she knows how to do it. The animals serve her. In fact, one of her quotations from the book is, "Everything, but everything on earth, every blade of grass, every insect has been created for man." And she says, she often quotes, she says, "I am man, capital M. I am a woman." And man, of course, does not have a translation in English for the Russian word. The Russian word means, as near as I could define it from based on what I read, the way she's using the term man there is man as God created man, the Son of God, imbued with all of the gifts, all of the powers, all of the knowledge, all of the wisdom, all of the love, in shortened form, all of the attributes that we attribute to God. God gave them 100% to man. And when she says, "I am man, I am a woman," she means I am as God created all of us to be. She's
mankind.
Not putting herself on a, yeah, she's not putting herself on a pedestal above us. She's saying, "I am what God made us to be. I'm taking on right now the form of a woman. I am showing forth the feminine energy." And when that book was published, again, everything along the publication of the book was a miracle. Miracle after miracle after miracle. I mean, the author went back, when she told him he was to write a book, he went back and started doing other things. He got it out of sequence, and he didn't start writing the book, which she told him was his first priority. And he went bankrupt, and he was at the point of suicide when Anastasia came to him in a very remarkable way, which I won't even go into the detail of that, but totally reminded him that he was to write the book. When he wrote the book, within the first year, it took on such a phenomenal influence in Russia that the authorities sent a helicopter with a squadron of soldiers and other people there to get Anastasia and bring her back to Moscow so that they could work with her and protect her. That was their lie, of course.
Of course.
And when they landed the helicopter, she comes walking out and says, "Here I am, I'm Anastasia," showing absolutely no fear of these people that were armed to the teeth, and showing no fear of their supposed authority. And she went on to talk to them about Vladimir and relate a bunch of stuff, and there was dialogue going on back and forth between them, as recorded in the book. And by the way, that whole thing was actually tape recorded by the guide who took the soldiers to the part of the part where she lived, near the area where she actually lived. And she finally told them, "I'm not going with you." At which point, two of the soldiers grabbed her, one grabbed each arm. And Anastasia had, from childhood, from her youth, had been able to summon the powers of the universe in what would seem to us a very supernatural way, but what to her was the most natural thing in the world, for everything was there. She was not the servant or the victim of life. She was the master of life, and everything was there to serve her. And they grabbed her by the arms, and she turned to the squad leader, I guess he was. It doesn't really identify his position, but he was standing in front of her as these two soldiers were holding her, one on either arm, and she said, "It's not good to use force. It could be dangerous."
Oh.
And the squad leader said, "Who, for you?" And she calmly said, "No, for you." And at that point, she turned her eyes to the side, and there was a large rock there on the side. And she fixed her gaze on the rock, using her what's referred to in the book as her ray, which gives her what would appear to us, again, to be supernatural abilities. But to her, it's just the way it is. And she looks at this rock, and the rock disintegrates and turns to powder. I'm sorry. And then she turns back to the squad leader standing in front of her and fixes her gaze on his earlobe, and his earlobe starts burning. Not like a flame, but smoke starts coming out of his earlobe, and she burned away the cartilage in his earlobe. And then one of the other soldiers drew his weapon and emptied his cartridge at her. One bullet scratched the side of her face near her temple, leaving a stream of blood flowing down the side of her face. All the other bullets disintegrated before reaching her. And
wow.
I'm not going to go in to the detail of what happened after that, except to say that the spheres, which were whirling around her and caressing her, put the entire squad and all of the others that were there into, shall we say, a trance state, and gave them a vision of hell, which is what humans have created on Earth. Not an eternal abode, but a place that humans have created in their inhumanity to man and in their disrespect of the environment in which God placed them. And it was most powerful. After which, they came out of that, and they were all trembling. And of course, the soldiers were no longer hanging on to her arms at this point. And villagers.
Oh, I wonder why.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I wonder why.
Well, if you read what they saw, and what she allowed them to see, what spirit allowed them to see, and how they had abused life itself, they being us, they being human beings, we are not exempt from them, and it's the problem is never out there. It's always us, because we are part of the problem as well as part of the solution. I'm giving you a little bit of my own philosophy there, but anyway,
I would agree.
The villagers came into the scene carrying sticks to chase the soldiers away. No weapons, just branches from trees and sticks. And among them was a little six-year-old girl. And the little six-year-old girl went up and tugged on Anastasia's skirt and said, "Auntie Anastasia, Auntie Anastasia, my grandfather told me that when Auntie Doctor was here, the white coat," and she actually referred to her as a white coat. Dr. Carly will like that. When Auntie Doctor was here, she told me that I was going to die because my heart was very weak because I was bottle fed and not baby and not breastfed. And you came into the cottage, and you carried me out onto the ground, and you laid me on the ground, Auntie Anastasia, my grandfather told me. And you laid down on the ground next to me, and you slowed your heart down to match my heart. And then you let your heart start to speed up, and your heart called to my heart to catch up to your heart. And my heart obeyed. Did my grandfather tell me right, Auntie Anastasia? Did he tell me the truth? And Anastasia, who says of herself that she cannot lie because that's against the nature that she was given, that she was born with. And she said, "Yes, your grandfather told you the truth. Your heart obeyed my heart, and your heart is fine now. You will not have a bad heart ever again." And she said, I have a secret, Auntie Anastasia. I have a secret. I want your heart to talk to my mommy's heart. I want my mommy to come and visit me. The little girl was 6 years old, and at 6 months old, her mom had abandoned her to her grandparents and went back to live in the city. And Anastasia looked, using her ray and her clairvoyance, she looked till she found her mama. And she said to the little girl, she says, my heart cannot talk to your mama's heart because your mama cannot hear my heart. She is in a place where she has lost all hope, and she has made a total mess of her life, and she's not in a position. You are the only one in the whole wide world that can talk to your mommy's heart. But you've got to make yourself strong, and you've got to learn how to sing from your heart and sing. And and 20 years from now, maybe your mama will hear you sing, and she will be proud of you. And then you will see your mama again. Or maybe, just maybe, your mama might come back next summer and see you. And she says, well, I can never be strong, Auntie Anastasia. I can never be strong because I was a bottle baby. I once a lady came and she had a little baby boy, and she was breastfeeding him, and I tried to watch. The adults kept trying to chase me out, but I kept trying to watch. And she said, Anastasia said, what were you watching for? And she said, I just wanted to feel how it felt to be breastfed.
Wow.
And I just wanted to feel what he was feeling. And with that, Anastasia opened her cardigan, exposing both of her breasts. And remember, all the soldiers and everyone is standing around. So she's exposing her breasts in front of everyone. And she had a little child herself, and so her breasts are full of milk. And the wind catches some of the milk and blows it from one of her nipples. And the little girl runs and catches the drop of milk in her hand and says, I saved it. I saved it, Auntie Anastasia. I saved milk for your baby. And Anastasia said, you caught it. It's yours. And the little girl held it to her face and just savored that one drop of breast milk. And with that, Anastasia took her into her arms and cuddled her. And the six-year-old girl breastfed at Anastasia's breast for 9 minutes, according to the tape recording. And with that, she apologized. She was like in a trance. And she apologized. She says, oh, I drunk your baby's milk. She says, don't worry. I have enough in the other one, and there's plenty of pollen and other things that my son can have because I'm raising a man. And then she dismissed herself from the group. But on the way out, she turned to the soldier who was trembling that had fired the shots at her. And she said, don't blame yourself. You acted totally out of impulse, as you were taught to do. Man who operates out of impulse and instinct is less than he was created to be. Learn how to live from your heart. And with that, she walked out of the thing, back to her own glade in the forest, to her own son, leaving the rest standing behind, bewildered at what had just taken place over the past couple of hours. The little girl from there went on to be totally transformed. By the way, as Anastasia was walking away, the little girl, for the first time, started singing. And they said it was absolutely heavenly, like the angels were singing with her. And she totally transformed not only her own life, but the life of the entire village. Gave everyone hope. It totally changed the future of her mother, of her, the whole village, as well as other people. The grandfather, at one point, talking to the author, said, he was asking the grandfather, how does she predict the future? And the grandfather said, she's not predicting the future. She's creating it.
Mm.
She says she talks about the dark forces. And Dr. Carley, on her program, which I listened to in its entirety, was, of course, referring to the dark forces and the terrible things that they are doing. Anastasia is here to help pull us through the dark forces, as she puts it, window of time. At one point, the author said, "You've taken me into the past. You've shown me things about my past. Take me in. Can you take me into the future and show me what lies immediately ahead of us?" And as she always did, she laid down on the ground and had him lay down next to her. And she took his hand, and she's able to induce a trance with him and able to show him things from the future, from the past, from other places. She's totally not connected in time and space. As she says, in her space of love where she lives, she's connected to the entire cosmos, and she knows everything. Her mind works exceedingly fast, as the little boy, her son, his mind is going to work faster than hers because she's training him and teaching him. But what she showed him was the disarmament race. Hello?
Ron, we have a caller on line two. Caller, can you...
Yes, hello.
Hello,
it's
caller.
Dr. Carley. Hello, Ron. Hello, Andrew.
Oh, hello, Rebecca.
Hello,
Dr. Carley.
How are you, Rebecca?
I'm very well, and I just had to call in to make a quick comment about this book series. In fact, these books have changed my life. I was going through a dark night of the soul in my last days in Florida, and one of my clients, Long Island, actually sent me four of these books, and I want to just mention one of the most amazing things that I learned from these books, which is actually in the first book entitled Anastasia, where she talks about how if you take the seeds that you're going to plant and you put them under your tongue before you plant them, you are instructing the plant what your body needs, and the plants that then grow from that, you know, being under your tongue, will actually grow with exactly what your body needs.
Yes, I remember that well, and I've actually, although I've been planting my own garden in my yard here around my house and creating my own space of love, and she also talks about spitting and using your own saliva when you plant them, and I do that, although I think she said to hold them under your tongue for 9 minutes, and I don't have the patience for that.
but it's just the concept of doing that that was so amazing to me, that, you know, you could actually instruct the plant as to what your body needs. So I just wanted to add that little bit in. Keep up the great work. You're doing an excellent job. And also I'll just mention that July 23rd is Doc Nick Day, as she has ordained it
right
to be. So we'll all have to celebrate Doc Nick Day. But this is a great show, and I could not more strongly recommend any books to the listeners. I very much recommend that they
have you read all four of them?
As a matter of fact, the four that my client sent me, I could not put them down. And I'm very busy, but once I started reading these books, I read them to the end. I was not able to put them down. I have some of the pine cones that, you know, you can get from this company, and the cedar oil. She talks about how the cedar oil from Russia has a miraculous healing properties and things of that nature. So in her book, The Space of Love, where she talks about the schools that she's creating, where the students actually build the schools themselves, and they teach the parents as well as the parents teaching the children. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
It's usually the other way around. The real students are the parents.
Exactly. Exactly.
But it is both ways. I agree with you. Yes.
Yes. So I'm so glad that you're discussing these books, and keep up the great work.
Thank you very much for your call. Look
you're
forward to seeing
welcome
you again sometime in the near future, I hope.
Okay, I hope so, too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Rebecca.
Are we back?
I really appreciate you calling. Yes, we're back.
Yes. I was talking about the disarmament race. Now, we all know about the armament race and how the dark forces have always used war to put us in, to alienate us from one another and to cause all sorts of wars, whether psychological, medical, what on whatever level they create wars and conflict. That's their job, and it's to create fear. But with Anastasia,
Oh, I just made a comment, a side comment. I said they're doing a good job of it in a lot of folks, but we're going to straighten that out really quickly.
It's straightening out more quickly than most people imagine. I mean, I feel like I'm really in touch with a lot that's going on behind the scenes.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot that does not meet the eye. But I want to talk about the disarmament race.
Yes, please.
I want to read a few paragraphs from, this is actually from book five called Who Are We? If Anastasia and her son have all of these tremendous powers, and she's telling us that this is how God created us. This is how the Creator made us to be. If she has all of these, what we consider miraculous or supernatural powers, then who the hell are we? Who are we in all of this? But anyway, when she showed the vision, she showed children that are coming into the world with supernatural powers and great love. And I'm actually going to be sharing a few paragraphs here from the book called, in a chapter called The Disarmament Race, and again it's book five. And this is a little girl talking. And I'll let her, this will explain what it's about. My name is Dasha. And our uncle president, now bear in mind, she's in the Kremlin with 10 other children that he has called together to let the world know that the secret weapon that the Russians have, i.e. the children, are just innocent little kids.
Mm.
And one of the kids had to go pee-pee. And the president of Russia had to take him out. And so while he's away from the podium, this little girl, Dasha, steps up to the podium, and then she starts talking, and this is all on camera in Russia, but televised around the world. And again, this is a vision of the future. This is not, has not happened yet, as far as I know. But she says, my name is Dasha, and our uncle president, he's a good chap. He'll be back in a moment. He'll come back and tell you everything. He's just a little anxious right now. But he'll be able to tell everyone how life is going to be good everywhere you look on the earth, and that nobody need be afraid of us. My brother, Kostya, told me how people are afraid of us children because I blew up some big new missiles. But it wasn't that I wanted to blow them up. I just wanted my papa not to go away for such a long time and for him not to think so much about these missiles, or to look at them so much. He should look at Mama instead. She's much better than any missile. And she likes it when Papa looks at her and talks with her. But when he goes away for a long time or looks at the missiles, Mama's sad. And I don't want Mama to be sad. Kostya, my brother, is very clever and intelligent. And Kostya told me that I frightened a lot of people. I shan't blow anything else up. It's quite boring, really. There are other things to do that are much more important and interesting. They bring joy to everyone. You take care of dismantling the missiles yourself. See to it that nobody ever blows them up. And please don't be afraid of us. This was the vision and the image that Anastasia gave of the children that are coming here, as her own son, Anastasia's son, is blessed with not forgetting who they are. As the rest of us, we've been born with amnesia, coming in with a bag over our head or with blindfolds on. Anastasia has shown us, as Jesus tried to show us, as many of masters have tried to show us throughout our history and in many cultures, that we are living far beneath what our intention, what God's intention for us was. And yet none of it is an accident. None of it is a mistake. For as we descend into the depths of shall we say, negativity, into the depths of our own darkness, which is an illusion, by the way, as we descend into those depths, we actually expand our ability to ascend into the heights. And the planet itself right now, and the human race right now, is in the ascension mode. Anastasia is simply a feminine prototype of where we're all going, reminding us of the gifts that we all have, reminding us, as Jesus did 2,000 years ago in a male body, as she is doing 2,000 years later in a female body, that we
well,
are
Ron,
one
with God.
Well, Ron,
let me interject something.
Go ahead, please.
I was talking with Dr. Wirth yesterday, and it was very interesting because I mentioned indigo children. She said, these are not indigo children. These are children of the crystal. And that made a lot of sense. She said that the indigo children started coming in not in 1988, but back in the late 1800s. And these are a whole new group of children. I believe the indigo children kind of led the race here. And then we step aside, and these new, more powerful crystal children come in. And that was incredible. And by the way, there is a scripture I would like, in the year 2000, big things started happening with the crystal children and are going to continue. But there is a quotation in the Bible that I've mentioned before and I will mention again, and you probably know it by heart. I think it is in John, possibly chapter 10. I'm not sure. I've got to find out. But it goes, Christ was talking to the disciples, and he said, know ye not that ye are gods, just a little less than the angels?
Well, actually, Anastasia said that as the creation goes, nothing but God is higher than man. Man is the second. Man is literally created as the son and daughter of God. Collectively, mm-hmm. we are the son and daughter of God. And angels, even, are here to serve us.
To serve us.
Yeah, they are. In God's kingdom, the greatest is always the servant. The one that is willing to lay themselves out for others, that is the person of true power. And we are all the son of God. We are all the daughter of God. But we have forgotten, as I said earlier, we have developed amnesia and put bags over our head, come in with blindfolds on. And that's by design, by divine design. This war of good versus evil and of light versus darkness is an illusion. It's the illusion of duality. God is everywhere present. God is in everyone, in everything. You can't escape. If I make my bed in hell, the psalmist wrote, who also wrote, you are gods, which Jesus was quoting there that you referred to. When the psalmist says, if I make my bed in hell, you are there. And an amazing thing that's happening in our generation is Christians that have been in the church for generation after generation. A minister that I just came across relatively recently named Carlton Pearson, a black evangelist from Tulsa, Oklahoma, trained in Oral Roberts University. Oral Roberts considered him his black son, had a church of over 5,000 people. Had a revelation from God and started teaching what the Holy Spirit told him, that hell is man's creation. God never created it for anyone. It's man's creation.
Incredible.
And he has gone on to teach it. He lost his church. And ironically, part of his healing process is a minister, a lesbian minister from San Francisco, invited him to speak in her church. And he accepted the invitation at a very low point in his life. And he went there and gave his message, but was still feeling very distraught at all of the circumstances and feeling that he had been victimized. He had obeyed the Spirit of God as best he knew how and was made to suffer for it. And anyway, after the service, she and her congregation gave him his first experience in a foot washing ceremony and cleansed him as Jesus did his own disciples. Cleansed him from being able from and he now is teaching the gospel of inclusion. He said Jesus died for us all, therefore all of us are saved. We just don't all know it yet. We just don't all know it yet. But there's nothing more that we need to be that needs to be done. Even our faith is a gift of God. It's all by grace. Through that faith, which is God's gift to us. It's not something that we do. It's something that God does. And through Anastasia and through all that's happening on the planet right now, God is lifting our eyes in two directions, up so that we see the higher dimensions, but also within so that we see that everything that's taking place outside of us is actually taking place inside of us. We are the microcosm of all that is happening as the children of God. And we're turning the whole thing around. Anzara, I read an article just this morning, a three-hour transcript of a radio program on Jeff Rentz, which is out of California. And I'm telling you, we've talked about the Illuminati and other things that are going on. This person who was interviewed, who was a very influential and powerful individual in his own right, has issued an ultimatum to the Rothschilds and to the Rockefellers, who Dr. Carley knows the Rockefellers control the pharmaceutical industry and modern medicine, has said, stop trying to kill the world and to reduce population. We know where you are, and if you don't come clean soon, your number is up. And they have, and he says, I know you're going to read this, I know you're going to know that we've said it, and I know that you know that we have the capability of carrying it out. We know where you are. Your time is up.
Oh, you have no idea how glad I am you brought that up, because I have been sitting here for the last few days angry, very, very angry, thinking someone needs to tell these people we are on to you and our numbers grow by the day and you will not stop us. And thank God this is happening.
Yeah, the message that Anastasia is giving us is that we are sovereign children of God. I have had to stand up. I've been in a lawsuit for 2 years, as you know. And they're trying to turn the trust over to probate court. The probate court has no jurisdiction. And I have refused to submit, saying you have no jurisdiction in this case. I've reclaimed, thanks to Anastasia, I've stood up and reclaimed my personal individual sovereignty as a child of God. And I will not submit myself to this government of criminals that has falsely taken control of the world, but they are losing control. We do not need, Anastasia demonstrated, we do not need to fear them. We live in a matrix, but everything is turning around. Everything is turning around very fast. I don't even think we need to wait till 2012. I don't think we need to wait that long. It could be days or weeks or months. Right now, the leaders of the world are meeting in the Bohemian Grove starting today. In Northern California, they meet there every summer for 2 weeks, in which they have their homosexual orgies and their heterosexual orgies, and they burn the effigy of children, perhaps real children, before the Owl of Moloch, which is a biblical reference. These people have risen to very high levels of power, but they are scared out of their wits because their game plan is up. Their number is up. The light has caught on to them. The light is growing, and it's not that we fight them with carnal weapons. It's not that we fight them on the level that they fight. We fight them by standing in our own truth, as Anastasia did, and as she demonstrated for us. And I think our time is about up. So you can you wrap up? I'm done.
It is about up. But what I would like to do, please, is if you would rejoin us again in the future with this, would you be willing to do that?
Certainly. I would be willing to do that. As the opportunities come, I take them. I take them as gifts from Spirit.
Right, because I'm planning again to have Dr. Wirth on the show. It's just an incredible thing that's happening. Incredible. I'd like to thank you so very much for being here and sharing your time with us. And I would like to tell our listeners that our time definitely is up, and please, this is our email, onehourwithansra@gmail.com. If you would like to get in touch with us, please give us a tap on the keys. Please, next week, tune in again 1 hour earlier for Dr. Carley's What's Ailing America. And please stay tuned also to hear the wonderful Cyber Shaman, who follows immediately. And my apologies if I've run over Cyber Shaman. Anyway, God bless you all. And Rick and I will see you next week. Thank you very, very much, and God bless you. Good night now.